Good morning, all. We are up to Perek B's Mishnah Dalet, Chapter 2, Mishnah 4, and we're continuing to discuss various laws that they apply to the Sukkah. In particular, an interesting case starts off Mishnah Dalet with another case of trees. So, Ha'os ha'sukaso, bein ha'ilanos ve'ha'ilanos tefanos la'kashira. So, we said if a person makes a Sukkah in a tree, and you have at least, if you have at least two of those walls, or either one third of the walls, if there are three walls, or half of the walls are in the tree, then we said that's not going to be a kosher sukkah. But let's say you have a house that's sukkah bein ha'ilanos ve'ilanos. You build a sukkah in between one tree and another tree. In other words, you have, let's say, these big redwood trees they have out west, and so each of the trees is going to serve as a wall for the sukkah. You're building it on the ground, but each of the trees is going to serve as a wall. So in this situation, kosher, it's going to be a kosher sukkah. So that's going to conclude for just a little bit our conversation about different types of sukkahs. But now we're going to switch into the conversation that everyone likes to hear, but and that is, who is exempt from the sukkah? So shluchei mitzvah p'tur min ha-sukkah. The first rule is that a person who is doing a mitzvah, they're on their way to do a mitzvah, that person is exempt from dwelling in the sukkah. Cholenu mishamshan p'tur min ha-sukkah. A person who is sick, and those who attend to someone who is sick, is exempt from dwelling in a sukkah. Ochlen mishosin arai chutz la-sukkah. And then finally, someone who is eating or drinking casually, right? There, it's like a snack. So in that situation, that person is also exempt from a sukkah. So all these things obviously have very large halachic categories and halachic discussions. If you have any specific questions around sukkah time, feel free to ask me. But these are the words of the Mishnah. Mishnah Hey shows some stringencies on the last idea of eating and drinking temporarily outside of the sukkah. So Maase v'hiviu lo l'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai l'toma es hatavshil. They brought to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai a little bit of a cooked dish to bring to taste outside of the sukkah. So it's a little bit unclear exactly what this cooked dish is, but nonetheless, it seems that he would not, in theory, have been technically obligated to eat this in the sukkah. Or another case, the Rabban Gamliel, they brought to Rabban Gamliel shtei kosavos udzli shalmayim. They brought him like two dates and a pail of water. So that also would be a situation where Rabban Gamliel would be exempt from eating in the sukkah. But Amru ha'alum lasukkah. In both of these situations, each of these rabbis said, "Take this up to the sukkah. Let's eat this in the sukkah." In other words, the implication is that even though there technically are leniencies that allow a person to not eat in the sukkah, the ideal is always to eat in the sukkah. You should not be looking for reasons to get out of eating in the sukkah. And then finally, the last case of the Mishnah, kishanasnu lo l'Rabbi Tzadok ochal pachos mikabeitza. They once gave Rabbi Tzadok, it seems like a little piece of bread that's less than kabeitza, less than an egg volume. Nitalu b'mapaso. First of all, he took it. He didn't wash his hands. What he did was he like took the bread with a cloth. V'achalu chutz l'sukkah, and he ate it outside of the sukkah. Lo b'irach achrav, and he did not make a birchas hamazon after it. So that brings us to the end of Mishnah. Hey, God willing, next time we'll continue with the mission above. For now, we'll stop right here.